And welcome, everybody, to Off the Hook Overtime. Emmanuel over here, Kyle.
Yeah.
Okay, and now in Signal Land, we've got Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
We've got Gila.
Hi there.
And we've got Alex.
Right here.
But we're not sure yet if we're actually on YouTube. We want to make sure that we make the transition okay. We did? Okay, wonderful.
We did.
Sorry for the delay. You know, there's kind of an irony here. You know how when you have a whole bunch of tabs open in a browser and you're in the middle? You're like, let's not say you have 1,000 tabs open like I might. Let's say you only have 100 and you're at like tab number 40. And you need to look something up quickly, so you open a new tab, and it opens up all the way over on the right. You know, you're far away from where you started. But as long as you don't open another tab, all you have to do is close that tab at the end, and you'll go back to where you were in the middle. Everybody with me so far? Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
All of that is defeated when all of a sudden there's a pop-up window that opens up next to the one that you just went to. And the irony is that pop-up window came from Adblocker Plus, boasting about how many ads its service has stopped from popping up. And in so doing, screwing me up completely and making me delay everything and have to find the tab I started from. So I'm sorry about that. I don't know where our society is going, but it's just it's crazy. Greg would have loved that, I know. This is going to be hard, folks. This is one of the toughest shows I think we've ever done. And Greg was one of the most incredible people we've ever known, ever will know. And I know that's true for so many other people too. You know, hearing all those memories. And seeing all the emails that are coming in. We do have some emails we'll read in a little bit as well. You know, I know we didn't have much chance to actually talk ourselves during the past hour on the radio. And for those of you who are tuning in on Overtime, have no idea what we're talking about, you can read the story that's on 2600.com. But basically, our good friend and Hope coordinator, Greg Newby, has passed away. And we are processing that, as we've only known about this for a few hours. It's a lot to handle. It's a lot to, you know, to just take in. You know, we've been prepared for this. Greg first was diagnosed in late March, and it was just such a shock then to hear, you know, pancreatic cancer just basically out of nowhere. And it's something that I think affects everybody listening because, you know, it can happen to anybody, virtually at any time. And, how do you live like that? How do you live knowing that can just land on you or somebody you love at any moment? You know, it was a year ago, just about a year ago, that we were so worried about Greg being in that that hurricane in North Carolina. We didn't know where he was. Was that a year ago? Was that 2 years ago? I think it was a year ago. And here we are a year later. Our worst fears in a completely different way confirmed. Anyway, I'll shut up. Any other thoughts, please express yourself.
So I have a couple of things. One of the pieces that keeps coming through in what everyone is saying in that incredible recording that we got to listen to, and just so much of what we're seeing online in this outpouring of grief, is that people talk about how kind Greg was. And given how smart he was and how many amazing things he did, this is a guy who could have been a real asshole. He would have had every right to be a huge asshole, and he just wasn't. And I was thinking about Hope 2020, which obviously had a lot of logistical moving parts, and Greg was wrangling the MCs as he so often did. And I was scheduled for an MC shift, and there was some confusion, and I was in the wrong Matrix room, and the YouTube and the Zoom, and I am generally speaking a pretty calm person at this point in my life. I don't get too worked up too easily, but when I do, watch out. And Greg had, like, stepped away from the conference for, like, an hour to go for a run. And everything just went to hell in this 1 hour when Greg was out for a run. And he, like, very calmly stopped his run, fixed everything from the side of the road, and managed to talk me down, which is not an easy feat. And I do logistics, like, work, and that's, I've never known anyone who does it as well as Greg did. And there are lessons that I learned from him that I'm going to take with me every day of my life going forward. In my faith tradition, they say, may his memory be a blessing. And I know that it will be, because he was such a blessing to so many of us in his life. And I know that his memory will continue to bless us going forward.
Yeah. I was thinking today of, you know, Greg's first, I believe Greg's first Hope that he went to, I think, was Hope 2000, Hope 2K. And that was also my first Hope. And I remember his talk from there. And I remember seeing him around the conference and him being one of the people that I bumped into and chatted with in this amazing new environment of a hacker conference, which I had been experiencing for the first time. And he was great. And I came back at the following Hope, and he was there. And I came back at the Hope after that, and he was there. And the more he got involved with the logistics and the behind-the-scenes stuff of the conference, and then when I started getting involved with that, and just getting to collaborate with him on that level, he was such... He was a glue, and he kept things together. And he did that before the conference. He did that during the conference. He did that with cleaning up after the conference. And he did so much more behind the scenes than I think any one of us will ever know. And I remember we spent this past Hope, where he couldn't be there physically, having to do so much and so much running around to even come close to emulating everything that he did when he was physically there. And he was sick behind the scenes of this Hope. We didn't say anything publicly until the end of it in closing ceremonies, but he was sick and he was in bed and he was still wrangling everything behind the scenes, as he always did in the planning stages and in, you know, the stages that people don't see. And, you know, he could have taken a freaking rest, but he didn't. If anyone earned a break, it was him. And he just kept going for as long as he was able. And It will always amaze and inspire me just how amazing he was, not only at Hope, but just as a personal friend, as a person to get to just talk with. And he was always so supportive of me and all the weird projects and things that I wanted to start up and have going. And he was just so kind and inspirational. And, yeah, I cannot say enough good things about him, and I will not find enough good words in the dictionary for him.
You know, you mentioned all these things, and yeah, you know, I've seen every single one of them at work, and it makes you just wonder and even panic about the future. How do we possibly survive? You know, how do we match all the magic that he was able to, to bring to us, to bring to the community? And I think, you know, he would be the one to say that we'll find a way. You know, he always did say that. He always did say that, you know, this might appear impossible, but we'll figure out a way to do it. For instance, you know, we had just been through COVID. We're going to move from the hotel anyway. Then the hotel didn't reopen, and the hotel was demolished, and we had no place to go. I know some of these things are out of order, but he's the one who found St. John's. He's the one who said, why don't we try this at a university? Something we had never considered before. And he's the reason we're there. He's the reason we found an incredible space that in many ways is much better than where we were before. Another crisis that we faced was when Amazon decided to stop paying for publications. Yeah, they just said, we don't care anymore. Either you give us your publication and we'll give you a fraction of what we gave you before, or you're on your own. Basically, he completely by himself was able to write an app that was able to send digital editions of 2600 to people in order to get it onto their Kindles, to sideload it, as it were. And the system works great. The system is incredible. It's a unique system, something I've never seen before. But it completely bypasses Amazon, and yet you're able to read the material on your Kindle. And best of all, it doesn't expire like it does on if you get it from Amazon. He did this. He made all this happen. He never wanted a penny for his efforts. It was just basically out of passion, out of love for the technology, for the knowledge, for the community. And, you know, that kind of a spirit, that is extremely motivating. That made us want to try harder. That made us want to do more things. And I dare say it's going to make many, many more people, perhaps people who have never even met him, feel that inspiration and accomplish more. And, you know, the other aspect to all of this, one that not everybody knows, Kyle and I are so honored to have been a part of the world that wasn't the hacker world. That was his magic of having 35 sled dogs, along with his partner, Alana. They had this most incredible space. You know, one time we got to move them from Alaska to Ontario, a whole bunch of vehicles. We drove the U-Haul, and we literally drove all the way across Canada with 35 sled dogs to their new place in Bancroft, Ontario. And while we didn't move them to their next space after that, Bancroft, Ontario, to Whitehorse in the Yukon, we did visit them there and see the magic that they had brought to that place. And that was incredibly inspirational as well. And then Greg had this passion for ultra marathons. You know, you mentioned, Gila, that he was doing a run in the middle of the conference. Well, he would, you know, make it a point to get exercise every single day. I don't know anybody who took care of themselves better than Greg, which is, you know, another reason why this is so horribly ironic. He decided to enter this race. What was it called, Kyle? The Denali?
Denali 135.
135, because it's 135 miles.
On the Denali Highway.
On the Denali Highway trail in Alaska, which isn't really a highway. It's kind of just like
it goes throughout the park.
Yeah, that's like a park road. And it's the equivalent of 5 marathons. And this means staying up for several days. You know, we were driving the RV as a support vehicle. So what we do is he started the race off with everybody else, and then we would drive ahead of him, wait for him to come by, and then when he got there, we gave him tea and various other refreshments.
Yeah, we were the support crew, and in all honesty, it was a thrill. And you're leaving out so many fun details, like just how we stayed up and how just how fun it was to be part of his team. And the whole lead up, like how we got the RV. The RV wasn't fully working when we started out. So we spent a couple days like cleaning it out. We were borrowing an RV from someone that helped out with the kennel, and that machine needed to be like stocked and working and tested, and like getting the water pump working, and like all the rehab that we did just to get it out there was one thing. And then we did a bunch of car repairs after the whole thing, because I think we burned up a couple spark plugs.
Well, this was all you and Greg, and throughout this the RV was running worse and worse when it got to the point on the way back where
we had to replace some spark
plugs. It just wasn't running at all, and we were in the middle of Alaska, and we had to stop in a place called Tok, T-O-K. We found, I think it was a Napa oil place, or it was down
absolutely
the road.
Absolutely, and they had like just enough spark plugs that to fit. We bought all the spark plugs that would fit that had left.
So it wasn't always easy. You know, sometimes it was fun, sometimes it was adventurous, sometimes it was sheer hell because we didn't know how the hell we were going to get back, and this thing was breaking down. But it was, you know, with Greg, it's never a reason to, to panic or to scream to the heavens. It's a reason to figure it out and get through. And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, you're not supposed to work on your RV in an RV park. But we...
Yeah, we were in an RV park, and they wanted us to leave, even though we couldn't.
Yeah, we managed to contain all of the work within the cab and got it working well enough to get back. And there was lots of breaks for joint smoking and relaxing, because it was a long 3 days. We were up for 4 days, I think.
Greg didn't do the joint smoking, by the way.
I definitely did.
But
we like made tea and had this whole rest stop.
Well, we did more than just tea. We made food sometimes, right? But let's get back to the race. It was five marathons.
Yeah.
It was like 3 days, I think. And we stayed up too, and that was a lot of work for us to stay up just sitting in an RV. But he was actually, you know, jogging or at times walking down this incredibly long road. When we got to the end, you know, he could barely put one foot in front of the other, but he made it. And at the end, we have video of this, he just turned it on turbo and just charged through the finish line. And it was great. It was like he had won a marathon. It was just such an amazing thing. And then, of course, he slept like a log for the next couple of days. We went to that crazy town somewhere in Alaska whose name escapes me. They have a train station. Everybody just gathered there the day after, and people were treating him like a hero. People were just seeing him there and saying, Greg, you're amazing. And
getting to know that whole community, just the
another awards, community,
the
yeah.
award ceremony, and just the people that are attracted to these kinds of big, big challenges, and the way they dealt with it and helped out with support was so interesting. And our efforts, I think, paid off. He was able to complete the race really, really strong, and we felt a sense of accomplishment doing that, and I never would have been out there doing as much, but I learned so much in the process of helping out and thinking about the kinds of things I might want to do out in the world,
mm-hmm.
or the things that we've done in travel, just to coordinate and be there and be participating in at that level. It just was such an incredible thrill. And, I mean, we thought about – he told us we could sleep, but we were, like, so so into the race and supporting him that I think we just wanted to just experience every part of it and stay awake for it and prepare everything.
In fairness, I tried to sleep, but it's one of those RVs that, the sleeping part is above where the driver is. And I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't. I tried, but just, you know, I said, you know, I'm just going to stay up. It was a unique RV too. What was it called? It had some strange name.
Security.
So it looked like, in fact, you know, we went up to a couple of parks just to get some scenery on during this whole marathon. And we pull up in this big RV that said security, and people who were there left thinking that they were in trouble because security had caught them or something. It was rather unique in that sense. But, you know, these worlds, these magical worlds of his, whether it's moving across a continent or taking part in a ultra marathon, there is dealing with 35 dogs and how do you take care of these dogs, feeding them, whole big ritual every single day. There's just so much. And we were so thrilled to be a part of his world on that level. Had nothing to do with hacking, had nothing to do with technology. It just had to do with enthusiasm, fun, pushing yourself. And those are things I always want to be a part of. Those are things I always want to be able to share. And it's just incredibly sad that Greg is not going to be the one that we share it with in the future.
Yeah, it's still so raw, I think, for everyone involved. We're thinking of his family, his parents and loved ones, but this is going to take a really long time, I think, for us to even really process, as prepared as we've been, as prepared as Greg was. But the sorts of shoes to fill here are just mammoth, and we're just so thankful for as having as much time as we had.
It hasn't really hit yet, and you know, I just keep hearing his voice. And you know, how do you tell yourself you're not going to hear that voice again?
I'm thinking a lot about, like, him guiding us, or just his wisdom, you know, what he would say in any given situation, or in commiserating over something. Just, he still is with us, and it's just gut-wrenching, but it is the occurring, and I think we're all sort of dealing with it and fumbling around trying to make sense of it, and it is it's quite sad, but we're also really heartened by the outpouring, just like what everybody has shared in who he was for them.
One thing that we got to do fairly recently was go up there to White Horse,
yes,
to see him. But inadvertently, we met his entire family. I guess everyone was up at the same time. We didn't realize that. We got to meet his parents and his siblings, and it was just such a magical moment, because you realize, wow, what amazing people these all are, and how they really recognize Greg. And how vital he is. And it wasn't, I mean, sure, there was sadness, but it wasn't just sadness. There was a lot of laughing, a lot of joy. And, you know, we got to spend that time together. We got to communicate and see him one last time and, you know, trade stories with others. You know, there's that. There's that. There's some comfort there. And like I said in the video, there's comfort in knowing nobody knows what the fuck happens next. You know, nobody knows. So I like that. I like the fact that not even the Pope knows what happens after we close our eyes for the last time. Nobody has a clue how to get into outer space. There's so many mysteries ahead of us. And I just, I think, you know, it's all part of a much, much bigger game you know, is there. It's always going to be there, and we'll play a part in some way that we can't possibly express or conceive of right now. Gila, you've had your hand up for a while. Sorry.
Yes. No worries. We just have a couple of people who have shared their memories of Greg in the chat, and I wanted to speak those into existence also.
Please.
At Mr. Crypt says, I didn't know Greg very long, and we only interacted through HopeCon, but his kindness, confidence, and patience was something that stuck. He recognized you as a person. You felt like you belonged. And at TLJordan8275 says, his kindness won't be forgotten. I interacted with him only a handful of times, and half of those are virtual, but he helped me through a difficult situation. And if people want to, if people have more memories of Greg they want to put in the chat, we'd be happy to see them. There's always more to say.
Well, thanks to our Hope Club coordinator, Liz, we have some other emails that are coming in. This one from Stephanie. Hi, I always remember Greg fondly. As a grad student, I interviewed him for a Software Engineering Institute podcast many years ago. And he was so kind and wise. During the pandemic, I messaged him during the online Hope conference and was pleasantly surprised that he remembered me so many years later. It's truly sad to hear he's passed away, and I will donate to his memory. And, that's a great way to pay tribute to him, because, you know, Iduna Project Gutenberg was such a passion. Such a big part of his life. There were many parts of his life we didn't know that much about. But, you know, he had just been to so many places. You know, we're sad now, but we should be happy that he got to do so much. He got to go to so many places and be a part of so many people's lives. And we should all be so lucky. And we should all strive for that. And, Kyle, I think you encapsulated it really well just by repeating this to me many times. We've got to live. We've got to live. And that's exactly what Greg would be saying right now. You've got to live. And just basically do as much as you can. Be a part of as much as you can be a part of. And be a good person. Alex.
One thing I think that's also just extraordinary to think about, I mean, we've been sharing all these memories about him and about the many facets of Greg's life, from being a runner to part of Project Gutenberg, his civic-mindedness, part of the hacker community, part of Hope, 2600, supercomputing, several different universities, dogs. I mean, he's a really extraordinary guy. What an intellectual powerhouse he was. And yet, he chose to hang out with us. And so, way, right? I mean, that's what's really amazing to me. I mean, that's the real miracle here, right? That this extraordinary guy thought that we were worthy of his time. He brightened up all of our lives in so many ways. And just, you know, I think we have to look fondly back at the fact that we got to hang out with such a cool dude for so long. And we're going to miss him forever.
I have another letter here going to the Hope people. While I did not ever meet Greg, I've heard awesome stories about him. This year was my first in-person Hope event, and I was hoping to meet Greg. Since Emmanuel's visit to his hospice, I've been wanting to know how he's doing. It was great to hear he had many people visit him with love and kindness. I want to thank you. Thank you for sharing Greg's death with the Hope community. It makes me sad, very sad. We hope the world as a whole, meaning Hope, has lost a great person, and the world has lost a great person. But because of his greatness and compassion, I feel Hope will continue in his honor. I'll continue to follow 2600 and Hope and try to volunteer more often in his honor. Peace and love. You know, and this is the sentiment that's coming out before, you know, we even said we should do more, we should live more. People are already feeling that, and it just makes me both sad and happy at the same time. Here's another from Scott. Rest in peace, Greg. You were a bright candle that lit all of our time with you during Hope and beyond. And, you know, if you want to write in to us, oth@2600.com, with your thoughts and feelings, we'd certainly appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, I'd also like to invite some phone calls if people want to talk about him. 1-802-321-4225. But also, you know, you were saying about how he was the healthy guy. He was the guy who was exercising and, you know, keeping an awesome diet and, you know, living a clean life in the biological sense. And one thing he had was a sense of humor, and a weird, dark sense of humor at times. And I really think that he, you know, as much pain as he was in and as much as he was going through, he might have appreciated that irony. Just a bit, that you can do everything right and still end up in the situation he was in. But, you know, he always enjoyed a good laugh, did Greg. And I would like to believe he's still somewhere getting a kick out of it.
It's weird. You know, I woke up today. He actually passed yesterday right after seeing the video, shortly after seeing the video that he had asked people to put together. He and Alana had asked for that. I woke up today feeling just inspired to do more, and I haven't felt that way in a while, actually, because I've been doing some traveling and just dealing with a bunch of other crazy, ridiculous challenges that kind of drain you. And today I just felt, wow, you know, let's start fresh. Let's do more things. And, you know, I'm not a spiritual person, per se, but I think there was a bit of Greg in that. I think there really was. Just his spirit will continue to move us in one way or another. Don't know any more than the Pope, but I know there's all kinds of things we can't ever explain. Or maybe one day we will, but not the foreseeable future. Yes, Rob?
Yeah, I was just, if you do a search on 2600.com for the name Greg Newby, you know, you'll see he was on Off the Hook, Off the Wall so many times, and, of course, Everything with Hope. And I was just looking through the descriptions of some of the episodes that come up, and things happening that I remember, like when he was running his sled dogs all around and he got bit by a dog. Not one of his dogs, but here he is wrangling a bunch of really powerful dogs, and some other dog bites him. And,
a different dog. Yeah, well, that's why you have a team, you know, they're supposed to protect you from that kind of thing.
Yeah. And of course, you know, not to bring back terrible flashbacks for you, Kyle, but there was a time you guys were over there giving him a hand, and Kyle injured his, And
he broke his hand. This was right after we moved from Alaska.
Yes,
to,
I gave my hand. I gave it willingly.
He fell off the back of a truck, and it was either hit his head or hit his hand. He chose for his hand. Very quick thinking there, Cloud. Mm-hmm. And we got to learn all about the Canadian healthcare system, which, by the way, you know, they charged him $25 to ride in the ambulance as opposed to thousands of dollars here in the States. And it's just all kind. They were so good to him, even though he was a an alien from a different country. And then when we got back to this country, they tried to take advantage and charge $1,000 for removing a bandage. You know, bullshit like that. It's just it taught us some lessons. It taught us some really good lessons. Yeah. Hey, our phone line is open. Yeah. Just to reiterate, 802-321-4225. Any thoughts that you have? It's fine if you don't. I understand if people don't have. You know, thoughts about Greg, and, you know, we can just chat a little bit more. We're not really, you know, it's good to talk to everybody, but as far as putting together an informational program right now, it's the last thing on our minds.
Yeah, I was thinking about how difficult this has been in the intervening months. This is weighed heavy on a lot of people, so I just think, like, yeah, having a lot of answers or even being able to think about the future and stuff, it's been really hard. As I said, we're really thinking of his family and loved ones right now.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. I just remember you guys, of course, were over in Canada, and I was here in New York hosting the show, and I got to razz him a little bit for, like, I'm sending you my colleagues, and you go and damage them. You know, try not to do that anymore. I'm running low. He enjoyed that. But yes, Alex.
I remember a funny memory of when Pope was moving over to St. John's, and Greg had found St. John's. And we were all over there. I think you were there too, Greg. You might have been there, Gila. But you and Manuel and Kyle were definitely there, and Greg was there, and we're all hanging out in the bottom area talking about, like, we could use this classroom or this space. And my oldest son, Sasha, came with us. And I was telling him tonight, too, that this was going to be a sad show because, you know, we lost a friend. And I said, you know, this is somebody that you met over at St. John's. And I had this memory flood into my head where we sat there and we talked for quite a long time. I mean, it was hours about the different potential possibilities of how we could use the space. And Sasha sat there the whole time very patiently. And when we left, he said to me, "God damn, do those guys ever shut up?"
Wow.
Yeah. This was also, I think, this was the first time we had all seen each other in person since COVID lockdown.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
We had a lot of catching up to do.
That's true, yes. It was the first time.
It's so weird to think of that. Yeah. God. Well.
Then we went out for pizza. And going to a random pizza place in Queens.
It wasn't random. It was Regina's across the street from St. John's. There's nothing random about Regina's.
There's not.
I'm sorry. I like Regina's.
No, it's lovely, but it was the first time we were there in terms of the Hope context. And, you know, it's always fun to go out with your friend who's vegan to a pizza place. And he was just totally chilled out.
We did that a number of times. He would always get a salad. And, you know, it's tough being a vegan. We get that, especially, you know, there are times in Europe where, you know, they didn't even know what a vegan was. And we had to kind of explain it. Always very patient, you know, and it's just, you know, part of the challenge, I suppose. But he led a very unique life. He really did. All right, one more time, 802-321-4225. Again, we're not pressuring people to call, but it's fine if you do or you don't. Any other thoughts, memories, things that you want to share with people? I have another letter to read, but you go ahead first.
Okay, just a couple more things from the chat. At SarahB4513 says, "I just tuned in. May he rest in peace. Send condolences to all. The world has lost a good dude." And Tim in Connecticut said, "It speaks very well of Greg by many people he touched with kind words. My condolences to all."
All right, this is from our friends over at the Tesla Science Center, the Tesla Museum. This is incredibly sad news. I read this with a broken heart. The community Greg built is one that stands behind him, reflecting the strength and generosity he shared with so many. I'll make a personal donation to his page on behalf of Tesla Science Center. at Wardenclyffe for keeping the legacy of Nikola Tesla and championing the community. I would like to provide a brick to be laid at the site of Tesla's last laboratory, where people from around the world come to honor his work and support the building of a museum and science center dedicated to his legacy. It is people like Greg who carry that spirit forward through selfless work that makes the world better for all of us. This is truly heartbreaking news. Please let me know who I should coordinate with coordinate this, and we will certainly be in touch. Thank you, Douglas, for those very, very kind words. And there are so many ways we can pay tribute to Greg. That is one beautiful way of doing that. And I'm sure we will think of many, many more. For those of you who got the latest issue of 2600, you might notice that we do have a date for the next conference. We have not yet started preparations for that. It's probably going to be a little while before we do, because we're just, we've kind of had the air knocked out of us with all this. But we do hope that you'll be a part of it, that you'll help us move forward, and that we make this even better, you know, for Greg, in his memory, through his efforts, everything that he has given to us. We're also lucky to have had him in our lives, and I only hope his last days were as peaceful as they could possibly have been. I know there's a lot of pain involved in something like pancreatic cancer, and it's just, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, this kind of pain, this kind of horror. It's just, someone like Greg, especially, who has done so much good and has tried so hard to be as good a person as he could possibly be. Yeah, he would recognize the irony. I don't know if he'd laugh at the irony, but he would certainly recognize it. And it's a damn shame. We need to stop all the crap and start actually figuring these things out so that this doesn't continue to destroy lives. You know, there are so many diseases out there. We don't seem to be any further along than when I was a kid. You know, and all you hear are these pleas for us to dig into our pockets and support them. Well, you know, it should be a lot more than that. It should be, you know, every government in the world pouring as much as they can to figure this out. It shouldn't be relying on spare change. This should be a priority more than anything else. And the fact that it isn't, that speaks volumes. And I think maybe we need to raise our voices a bit to ensure that people in charge know what the priorities are, because losing people like this is unacceptable. It's so unacceptable. And Rob, get to work on that strongly worded memo, because blog post.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we're done for tonight.
Maybe.
It's fine. It's fine that we're not getting calls, and I understand why. But please write to us, oth@2600.com. We'd like to hear your thoughts. Next week, barring anything else unforeseen and tragic and traumatizing, we will have a normal set of shows off the hook on WBAI, Overtime here on YouTube. Any last words, guys?
And, of course, if folks want to send messages to Greg's family, we will continue to forward those along, and I'm sure that they will be appreciated.
That's true. Yeah, the other thing I didn't take into account is we haven't been on Overtime in, I think, over a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sometimes that makes people forget that we exist. And that's one of the other reasons why we have less people on tonight. So, okay, no problem. We'll keep doing this until we rebuild, the audience, and that's we'll have more chats in the future.
Well, and it was, good to have many of our regulars with us this evening. A little bit of normalcy, I think, is good, and we have missed doing this over the last month, so
mm-hmm.
I'm glad we're all back together tonight. And fuck cancer, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
thanks everyone for joining us. It is also, for my part, good to be back with you speaking, and thanks for everyone for listening and for keeping Greg's memory and his spirit alive and in your recollections of him, and thanks for your understanding right now, because it really has been a difficult period for him, for his family and loved ones and extended family on into everyone here and everyone who's shared their stories with us. So thanks very much for keeping everything front of mind right now, and love deeply. And I think the more people you come into contact with, the more people you love, the more you open yourself up for this kind of vulnerability. But I think it's healthy to sit with it and be able to talk about it.
Yeah, it's tempting to be a little colder so you don't get affected by things like this. But let me tell you, the pain is worth the joy. You know? I'm sorry, I said that backwards, didn't I? The joy is worth the pain. I'm sorry.
You're here.
Yeah, because, okay, whatever. But it's worth it to feel emotion, even when the emotion is heartbreaking, because you also feel the joy and you feel the love. It sounds like a Beatles song, I know, but there's truth. There is truth in that. Alex, you have something?
That's exactly right. No, that's what I'm
yeah,
saying as well.
Absolutely. Yes, go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I think it's also worth mentioning that, you know, this is the first time we've all been back together in quite a few weeks.
It's a good night for it. I'm glad we're all here tonight.
That's exactly the point here, is that, you know, we're back together with each other, with our listeners, with the community that's been listening to us for so long. And I think it's been really a perfect send-off for our dear friend Greg. We'll miss you.
Let's commit to getting together in person in the future, because, you know, I want to hug you all, but if I did that, I'd break some things that I'd be grabbing. But, you know, in person is better. And we're not that far from each other, so we should be able to do this. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part. Thank you for your kind words.
Stay connected.
We will see you again next week. Good night.